Blog Talk Radio.
Now entered the Boxing Lab. I'm your host, Ernest Gavion. Welcome to Boxing Scene's official radio show. I'm joined today and hopefully every Tuesday by Boxing Scene correspondents Ryan Burton and Louis Sandoval. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, you know.
Doing good, Ernie. Doing good, Louis.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to have you guys on. I think this is a long time in the making, and I know that our beloved leader, Rick Reno, had been wanting this for a long time. So, So this is an official Boxing Scene show with Boxing Scene guys, and hopefully we can do the show justice. Hopefully we can bring an insider perspective. All of us work in the industry. All of us are there at press conferences and covering fights and in the gyms all the time. We know a lot of these fighters on a personal level, So hopefully we can bring a really nice perspective to this, something that I think a lot of the shows may be lacking, not to crap on any of the other shows or anything like that, but I just think we bring something new to the game. Let's jump right in. I don't see any better time than the present to jump right in. Since this is all new to us, we're gonna try to go hit through our menu, our topics, our list of topics as smoothly as possible. Today's guests, we have two special ones. First off, we have Alfredo Perro Angulo, who, if you know boxing, you know that he's been out of the picture for a long time. There's been a lot of controversy going on. Well, this is one of the first few times that he's actually going to get to speak live to his fans and to us in the U.S. about exactly what's going on. I know he's done a few articles. I know particularly one. A really nice one that Gabriel Montoya did a couple weeks ago, outlining what exactly happened with Perro. And then after that, after we have Perro on, we will have WBA lightweight champion of the world, Bam Bam Brandon Rios. Just wanted to share, I shared it with Ryan and Lewis today. Bam Bam just got the key to the city over at Garden City, Kansas. He just texted me, showed me a picture of it. It's a very nice key.
Nice.
Yeah, so he was really excited. He kind of said that, you know, he started from nothing, and for him to get a key to the city meant a lot to him. He said he was very happy about that. So he'll come on to share that, and, you know, what's up next with Bam Bam, what's he got going. Just catch up with them. Let's jump right into it. Let's talk about last weekend's fights. We saw Juan Manuel Marquez basically, I don't know if anybody caught it, but it was on a toprights.com live stream. Where he fought Liker Ramos. And suffice to say, we didn't really get much out of this. Ryan, what did you think? Did you get to see it, first of all?
Yeah, I saw it. And before we talk about the fight, I kind of want to actually say that was a pretty good stream. You know,
thanks.
A lot better than a lot of these we see that might be legal or might not be, and the thing, you know, blacked out and you got to find another link.
Yeah, you know what? I think that was Top Rank's Achilles heel with some of the streams that it had done, like with press conferences and stuff like that, the way that it streamed down. And I gotta say, it was probably the best stream I've seen of anything, any fight like that, even including like the FX ones that were supposedly supposed to be really well.
And the fight itself, I mean, honestly, when I first saw, I guess you would call it the knockout punch, it seemed fishy right from the beginning, because when a guy gets knocked out cold, basically, you know, you're not staggering back and then falling. You're pretty much just falling. But that being said, when I watched the replay a couple times, to me it seemed like it was the body shot that came previously that really did the damage, and I wouldn't call it a fix or anything like that. I think the guy just went down, knows he's supposed to lose, and picked up his paycheck and probably called it a night.
Lewis, what do you think? I mean, it seemed to me like when he was out cold, that was the softest landing of anybody I've ever seen out cold I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I first saw the fight, the first thing I did was jump online and see what people were saying, and, you know, everybody was saying that it didn't look like he got knocked out, like he took a dive or something, and, you know, it did look a bit fishy. You know, he took a couple steps back, I think, and kind of braced himself for the landing, and, you know, when you see guys get knocked out cold, I mean, if you look at, you know, the Paul Williams-Martinez fight, you know, when Williams went down, I mean, you knew he wasn't getting up, you know, the body goes limp, and, you know, I don't know, Ramos, for some reason, just it didn't look like he was out when he went down, but as soon as he went down, he went to sleep. So,
all he needed was a pillow, really.
Exactly. You know, but whatever the case, I mean, you know, Marquez landed a pretty good shot on him, and I think, if anything, Marquez was probably a little disappointed that, you know, he only went to go, like, I think it was a minute and a half.
Yeah, well, I think even on this level, it just shows just how amazing a counterpuncher Marquez is. I mean, the way he counters people is just amazing. But now here's the question at hand. Does this make a difference? I mean, we all saw he weighed 138 pounds for a tune-up fight, which is scheduled to be at 144 pounds. And I question whether he's going to carry that 144, even if he comes in at, say, 142. Is he even going to carry that well enough to where it's going to make any type of difference?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I looked at the Floyd fight, you know, I think even him and Nacho admitted that they didn't go right, put in the weight the right way. You know, I think they bulked up a little too much. Kind of affected him in the fight. Granted, I think Floyd's style would beat Marquez at any weight. But, you know, I think they might come in lighter. I think, you know, coming in at 138 for this fight, I think they're probably just testing out how they're putting on the weight. And, you know, even though, you know, the fight only lasted a round, I think, you know, I think Marquez even said in the post-fight interview, you know, at least they got a full camp out of it. And I'm sure they're trying new things and trying to find the best way to go into that fight with Pacquiao at the right weight.
Yeah. And I agree with the fact that he got to camp in. I think that's the most important thing. But in my opinion, I think he's better off to not even come in at 142, 143. I think if he comes in at 138, 139, if he can get up to 140, that would be, you know, better for him.
Does he stand a chance, November 12th?
I think so. You know, I hear a lot of people already dismissing the fight, kind of it's a foregone conclusion that Pacquiao's going to win. And
I'm one of them. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, and I hear that a lot. And I think Pacquiao has a lot of advantages. You know, he's a lot younger. He's more acclimated to the higher weights. But, you know, I think it's a little bit of a disservice to Marquez to ride him off so quick. I mean, he is skilled. He's smart. He's still one of the best in the game. You know, do I expect him to win the fight? You know, probably not. But, you know, I think, you know, Pacquiao's going to have his hands full that night. You know, I mean, Marquez always comes to fight, and he's been waiting for this fight for a long time. So, I think he's going to come ready. You know, so I do give him a chance. I know a lot of people don't, but, you know, I think he has a good chance still.
Ryan, you give him a shot at all?
Personally, I think it'll be a good fight. I think it'll be a good fight for 4 or 5 rounds. Then I think it's just the youth, the strength, and Pacquiao, and I think he'll just take him out.
Fair enough. Also on that card, Juan Manuel's younger brother, Rafael, fought, took out his opponent, I do believe, in 4 rounds. It wasn't much. Do we take anything out of this? With Rafa, does this mean that he's ready to jump back into the 126-pound division? Some people even made overtures. Maybe he can go up to 130 and fight like an Adrian Broner, something like that. Do you see him being competitive at all at 126? You know,
not with the top guys. I think he's pretty much done. I think now he's a stepping stone for a guy like Broner. But as far as beating Juan Manuel Lopez or Yorkis Gamboa or one of those guys, I just don't think at this point in his career he can do that.
Lewis?
Yeah, I still think he could be competitive. You know, I don't know how you know, this fight, I didn't really take too much of it either. You know, I think he took care of the guy like he should have. He looked okay. I don't think he looked too impressive. But, you know, I think he can still mix it up with the guys. You know, I'd like to see him take on Juanma Lopez. Again, I think he gave a good account of himself. I know he said that he had shoulder problems and whatnot. But, you know, I like to see Rafa still mix it up. I think he still has a little bit left. I didn't take too much away from this fight. You know, much like his brother, they were fighting guys that really weren't, you know, at their level. And I think it was mostly just to keep busy. So, you know, I'd just like to see him fight. I think he has a good chance.
What about matching him up, say, with a young stud such as Miguel Angel Garcia? Do you think, you know, that plays out competitively?
You know what? I don't know. I think Rafa will always be competitive. I think much like his brothers. I mean, these guys, you know, were trained by Nacho. They're pretty smart in the ring. They know how to, you know, take care of themselves in there. But, you know, in this case, yeah, probably you put him in with a guy like that. You know, I don't think I favor him. I think he'd give a good account of himself. I think he's always going to be competitive. But against a guy like Garcia, I mean, I have to favor Garcia. I mean, he's on a roll right now, and he, you know, he's one of those prospects that people know is going to, you know, just shine.
Cool. Rafa, go ahead. I'm sorry, Ryan.
I was going to say I agree with Lewis. I think that Rafa, he has a lot of heart, so he'll always be in the fight. I just don't think he has enough to come out with the win in the end. But actually, that's a good fight for Mikey. That would be a good step-up fight for him before he fights someone like a Gamboa or a Lopez.
Yeah, and it's a name. It's something that I think that any young fighter would want to go after is someone, you know, someone with a name like that. And while I wouldn't weigh it heavily as far as something on his resume, I do think it gives him some experience against a guy whose vast, you know, experience, you know, overshadows what Garcia has done up until this point. You know, also on that card was Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, and you know, we may just see the best little fighter in the division in Gonzalez. I know he's made overtures to Segura as far as matching up with him, but he's now at 108, and I know Segura, his days at 108 are probably done. Do you see this matchup happening? What do you think of Roman? You know, I'm pretty impressed with the guy.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a fight before this. I don't think he's fought in the U.S., and you know, I saw him, and he has, like, a good blend of power and skill. You know, he's not one of those guys that just goes in there to slug you out. I mean, he has a real good knockout percentage. But, you know, I saw him in there using angles. You know, his power was definitely there. I mean, he knocked down Salado, I think, twice in the first round. So, you know, he's skillful. He's not just powerful, but he's skillful. And, you know, I really like to see him again. I hope they start showcasing him a little bit more. A fight with Segura would definitely be great. But, like you said, you know, I know Segura's moved up. Don't know if that fight happens unless Roman moves up, but I mean, I'm really expecting great things from him.
Yeah, I agree as well. He put on another good performance, but we haven't really seen him against one of those, you know, top names, and I think that's why Segura and his people are kind of staying away from that fight. As you people probably heard on Boxing Scene, I wrote a story where they said they have Brian Valoria next. Obviously, that's a bigger fight. Brian Valoria is a multiple-time champion. People know the name. I think if Chocolatito, if he had his Ivan Calderon type of fight, then I think you can make a fight between Segura and
Sounds like we're in a second. Someone got another phone near. Yeah, I'm here. Look, I don't know what that was. Okay. Could be me. Let me see. How's that? You guys there? Well, let's keep going. sorry about that, everybody. Friday, we saw what may end up being the fight of the year, Pavel Wolek versus Delvin Rodriguez. What a fight, and what an effort. I'll say this, what an effort by Wolek. I mean, the way his eye swelled up, the way he came back in the second half of the fight, it was just, it's the stuff it's why you like boxing so much. I, you know, while I came away impressed, you know, I still have some other thoughts about Wolek. What did you guys see? Did you guys see the fight? And, you know, what did you guys exactly think when you were watching this?
Yeah, I watched it. And, you know, I was already a little bit hyped up for the fight. You know, always been a fan of Delvin Rodriguez. And, you know, Wolek's just been on the, you know, when he beat Uri Foreman, that was pretty impressive. And, you know, I was expecting a war, and that's what we got, you know. And the way Wolek just kept coming no matter what, even when he had that big bulge or whatever you want to call it over his eye, you know, he didn't want to stop. He wanted to keep coming forward. And
man, that was Rockman-esque. That thing looked nasty.
Oh yeah, it reminded me of, also reminded me of Fernando Vargas and Shane fight where it just started, just ballooned up. You know, and yeah, I mean, I give Rodriguez credit too because, you know, at the beginning it looked like Wolak's pressure was really bothering him, and he started giving himself a little bit of space, landing some combinations, you know, and he got the work done.
Brian, what do you think, man?
I thought that was a great fight. I'm not sure if it's the fight of the year, but it's definitely a top fight, and the rumors we've been hearing about the rematch.
Working with Victor Conte for this fight, Zaz Judah.
What the?
What was that?
I have no idea. Hold on.
I think we have an unexpected guest.
Yeah, go ahead. I think I just put them on mute.
All right, I was going to say that there's been rumors that they may have the rematch on the undercard to the Miguel Cotto, Antonio Margarito 2 fight, and that would just, I mean, talk about adding to the card. That would be a perfect place for that fight, especially if it ends up in New York.
I also heard that he might get matched up against Jesus Soto Carras. I mean, at this point, does that do anything? I mean, how many, honestly, I love Jesus, but how many times are they going to keep trotting him out to face these guys? And while he gives a real, you know, concerted effort, you know, at the, honestly, if I don't see Jesus on a pay-per-view, I'd be fine. You know, I honestly, as spirited an effort as Wolak was, as the Wolak fight was, I think it did show some limitations in Pavel that a lot of fighters can't expose. And I'm not sure, you know, whether his rankings in the top 10 by Ring Magazine, of course, are deserved. He fought a foreman that, you know, was coming back. Probably his heart wasn't in it. He immediately retired after the Wolak fight. He fought a Pinzon who came in as a last minute. And it's one of those things where I know he's on a streak. I know he's a gutsy guy. I know, you know, he's the type of guys that you want to see in the ring. But I'm 100% sure whether his efforts are that, you know, that it rewards him with a top 10 finish or a top 10 ranking. I think all of the guys in the top 10, including the guy below him, Austin Trout, I think they all beat him fairly easily.
I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch personally. I mean, it was a great fight. If they want to do a rematch, and I mean, being the fact that it was a, you know, a draw, they probably should have a rematch.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that. It's just, you know, I'm not sure whether or not, you know, I guess at this point, whether Wolak's, you know, ratings as high as they are deserved, or if it's just kind of, we're kind of riding the high of seeing a satisfactory fight, you know?
Yeah, I think regardless if they do it, though, I think both guys should make a little bit more money than they made on ESPN.
Definitely. This is a tough business, Dad. You got to get all you can out of it. You know, it's one of those things where you know, it's such a tough business to get any type of money out of. People don't understand. You know, the top maybe, 1-2% make any type of sustained living out of this. Everybody else, you know, you got to struggle for your ends. And for them to get rewarded on a pay-per-view card such as Cotto Margarito 2, I think it's well-deserved. You know, I definitely think that. It's, you know, I just kind of question whether or not Wolak deserves such a high ranking as he does right now. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you mentioned Soto Carras, too, and I mean, Top Rank has so many guys at 154. I don't know why they would have to make that fight.
Yeah, I'm scratching my head about that. It's going to put two guys in front of each other. And granted, they're going to go to war. They're going to, but at some point, you know, just sitting there in front of each other and hitting each other isn't necessarily always, you know, the most entertaining thing. We want to see two guys, you know, in a pitched battle. And I think so. The cross is a little shop worn for my liking, and I'd much rather see someone in there with Wolak. And how about Carlos Molina, the guy who just beat Cintron? I think that would be an action fight against two guys who are on the rise.
Or one that I have out of the blue. Earlier today, I got a phone call from Joshua Clotty, who's now back in the USA.
Oh, he's been MIA. We finally found him.
Is he decided to fight again? I mean. I mean, did he go on the beaches and go, you know, in a Stella finds his groove, or how, you know, Stella
got his money?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Hopefully this guy gets his head right. I know, you know, from my everlasting dealings with him, he was all slated to fight, and then at the last minute he got pulled off. So, I mean, if he's genuine and indeed, I wouldn't mind seeing a Wallach versus Claudie fight. You know, it'll show where Claudie's head is, and it'll show where Wallach is as far as his talent's concerned. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, just look at that. Well, the one guy, you know, Wallach, nonstop coming straight at you, then you have Claudie covering up and counterpunching. It actually might be an interesting fight if Claudie's not rusty.
Yeah. Now the question asked, do we see Claudie in a tune-up fight before he gets that? You know, I guess I could see that. I think I could see that fight being somewhat entertaining. But you know what? Throwing a guy like Soto Carras out there I don't see it, and I think it would actually hurt the entertainment value of that card. Moving on, we saw on Friday yet again. I think we saw on Friday the emergence of a young star, Diego Magdaleno. What I would think is a stellar performance. He came off the deck in the first round and put on a pretty good boxing performance against a very tough, Perez, a guy who previously, you know, knocked out and stopped absolutely Antonio Escalante in one round. I for one am impressed. I'll be honest with you, when I saw Diego's first early fights, I really wasn't impressed. I thought he was, you know, more the David Diaz type. Kind of a banger guy in front of you who's going to take a few to deliver a few. But as time progressed and he's grown, he's kind of grown on me. I got to be honest. He's now, I think, a legitimate fighter, a legitimate contender, and someone who I think a lot of the top guys are going to have a tough out with.
Yeah, definitely. I saw the fight too, and you know, when he went down early, I was kind of curious to see how. You know, how he recovered from that. And, you know, he did great. Like you said, I think after that, he pretty much started taking control of the fight little by little. And, you know, Perez, you know, tried to bring it on late in the fight as well. But, you know, I was also impressed with him. And, you know, just the fact that he was able to come off the canvas and then start putting on that type of performance just really speaks a lot about what he can do.
Ryan, what were your thoughts? I think we might have lost Ryan.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, I personally would like to see him, you know, in there, you know, continue along this path. I could be honest. You know, hopefully, you know, Top Rank, you know, I think with the matchmakers that Top Rank has, I think they very well know what they're doing, and hopefully, you know, they keep moving him along at the pace that he's at, because I think the progression that he's had from a guy who was considered a light hitting, you know, fringe prospect to now, you know, kind of a contender, I think is a great, you know, is a great job by Top Rank. Granted, he still only has 7 KOs, but he KO'd the last 4 opponents prior to Perez. He had Perez in a little bit of trouble, you know, a little bit of trouble, and I actually thought he dominated him better than Rico Ramos did. You know, that's one of an opponent that Rico and and Diego share, but you know, I was more impressed with the performance that he had versus the performance that Ramos had against Perez.
And I think Ryan's back. So
hey, good to have you back, Ryan.
Sorry about that. Yeah,
we were just discussing Diego Magdaleno. What did you think about his performance?
Well, I was ringside at the fight. I've seen a lot of his fights live, being that he lives here in Las Vegas. I've seen him in the gym. And actually, I was very impressed, especially the way that he, like you mentioned, he knocked out his last 4 opponents. He kind of needed a gut check fight like this, where he hit the deck. Alejandro Perez came to fight. And, I mean, I talked to him after the fight. He said that he wasn't hurt when he was knocked down. It was just a clean shot, and it appeared to be that way. To me, I just think that it's about that time where he can step up to another one of the at 130 pounds, there's not as many guys like a featherweight, but if he could even fight a guy like a Rafael Marquez, I think he's up to that point.
Yeah, you know, do you see him maybe as a top 10 guy at 130 right now, or do you think he's still maybe on the fringes of that?
I would probably say he wouldn't be at featherweight, but at 130, I mean, the division's not loaded until a few of these guys move up from featherweight. I mean, you got guys like, Rocky Martinez had a belt. You've got Ricky Burns.
Yeah.
Eloy Perez. To me, that would be an interesting fight. I know it won't happen until one of them has a belt, but Eloy and Diego, being that they're both young guys, up and coming, I think that would be a pretty, interesting fight.
That would be a good. Yeah, it's almost. Honestly, I could see that happening. Maybe even next year without the belt. Kind of like, here's my top prospect at 130. Here's my top prospect at 130 for Golden Boy and Top Rank. And let them see what they can do. I mean, it's one of those things where, these guys gotta. I personally, for one, would like to see some of their prospects get pushed a little bit, and I think that would be actually a kind of a watershed moment for Diego. I think he would beat Eloy, but I for one would like to see that down the road. I think that could happen. Also over the weekend we saw the Hawaiian Punch, Brian Valoria, win a WBO title against Miranda. From what I understand, he outboxed and he dropped him initially in the first round. Did anybody happen to catch that fight?
And I fell asleep waiting for it to start myself.
It was one of those things where I just wasn't sure what time it started. I just saw, kind of the Marquez stream, and I was, kind of waiting for it. And then next thing you know, my eyes were getting heavy, and I tuned it out. And for everyone to understand, from what everybody's accounting, Brian did really well. He outboxed him. Over 12, he scored a knockdown in the first round from what I understand was a body shot, and he outlasted Miranda over the course of 12. The scores were 117, 110, 114, 113. I know that there was a controversy regarding the scoring. I guess they only scored for 10 of the rounds, but I think that's been cleared up. Lewis, you back on? I think we're
up. I'm here. Sorry about that, guys.
Oh, no, that's okay. We were just talking Valoria and his performance. Do you think this kind of translates into a Segura fight, you guys? And if so, what do you guys think about that fight?
I think, Valoria's gone through his ups and downs. He's been where people expected him to be the next best thing when he lost to Nino. And, he's been up and down a little bit. It's nice to see him win another title. And I think... a fight with Segura would be great, and I think Brian might be able to touch on this a bit more, but I think Segura has been saying that he'd want the Valoria fight, and I think he seems real confident going into that fight, too.
Yeah, what I've been told was, being that he was the 108-pound champ and he moved up, he didn't lose his belt, he just vacated it when he moved up in weight, that he was supposed to get the winner between Pingo Miranda and Valoria, so I'm sure that's what the negotiations are. I'll probably be talking to Giovanni or with his manager in the next few days. Ricky Mota, about that, to see what the status is. And I think it's a good fight. I mean, Brian starts off fast, and Giovanni, we know his style. He comes right at you. He's going to throw a bunch of punches. He's going to take a lot of punches, and it's going to come down to who's better conditioned and who can take the punches. And personally, I think it's a fight where Valoria is probably winning on the cards, but Giovanni would be too much for him and take him out late, like around the 10th or 11th round.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I think the stamina issues that have plagued Brian throughout his career, I think, would probably rear his ugly head, and I think that's when Segura would take over.
Yeah, and I didn't see the fight either, but I read a report, I think it was even on Boxing Scene today, where they asked Pacquiao about it, and I think Pacquiao said that he thought Valoria kind of faded late a little bit. I can only go by what he's saying, but, it seems like those stamina issues might still be there.
Dave, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm on, brother. Can you hear me?
Hey, we're joined by Leave It in the Ring host Dave Duenas. Dave, first off, I want to thank you for helping us host all this. It means a great deal to me, as you know. Do you have Mr. Pedro on the line for us?
I'm gonna patch him in right now, and let me add him, and then you guys can take over from there. So we should be calling him right now.
Cool. Thanks, Dave.
Ain't no problem, brother.
All right. Well, while he does that, let's talk a little bit about
Hello.
Oh.
Chick?
Hello?
Hello?
Bueno,
hello?
Pero?
Yeah.
Sí.
Pero.
Danny.
Hi.
Now, where are you, my friend?
How are you, Pero? It's long time no here. I mean, we've all been sitting here wondering where the doggy went. And I'm so glad
you're on.
If you want to talk in Spanish, I've got an interpreter on for you, so feel free to talk in either English or Spanish.
Okay, here, Spanish.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're on with Alfredo Pero Angulo, light middleweight contender, one of the baddest men in the planet in boxing, and for a lot of different reasons, a guy who has not fought in quite some time. First off, Pero, how are you? How's everything going? You know, tell us how's everything. What you've been up to? It's been a long time.
Dice que cómo estás, cómo te sientes y qué ha pasado todo ese tiempo.
Nada, pues todo bien. Estoy trabajando ahorita muy muy fuerte para el compromiso del 20 de agosto, que es mi regreso al ring después de un año de pelear. Y poder disfrutar de mi familia y de la gente que quiero aquí en Mexicali.
He said that, you know, he's good. He's been working. He's working and training really hard for August 20th when he'll make his return to the ring after a year. And, you know, he's just been staying with family and Mexicali, and he's doing good.
So, Pero, with, you know, if there's something, you know, that we cannot discuss, please let us know. But what's kept you away from the sport for so long?
Pero dice que si hay algo que no quieres que te preguntemos, nomás dilos a nosotros. Pero él quiere saber qué ha pasado para que hayas estado tanto tiempo fuera del ring.
Pues, problemas con el promotor. Problemas legales con el promotor. Que él no me ha querido tener en nadie. Es todo. Y creo que pues esta función es por perros promocho. Tuve que hacer una compañía yo para poder pelear, porque si me atengo a él, yo creo que me voy a estar sin pelear. Y cuando otros promotores me han querido poner en sus funciones, él les habla y les dice que si ellos me pelean, que van a tener problemas legales como con él. Pero yo lo que yo digo es de que cómo él puede decir que es mi promotor y en un año no se ha interesado por buscarme una pelea.
Okay, he said, you know, it's just been problems, problems with his promoter, legal problems, and, you know, he had actually started his own company, you know, Pero Promotions, and he had to do that in order to fight because, you know, his promoter, Gary Shaw, hasn't got him a fight in over a year, and anytime any other promoter tries to, you know, get in contact with him to have him give him a fight, Gary Shaw will call that promoter and let him know that they need to stay away from him, or, you know, he'll sue them, and, you know, he just doesn't understand how that could be his promoter, and he hasn't gotten him in a fight in a whole year.
Pero, this is Ryan, El Güero Loco. How you been, man?
Hey, how are you, Güero? How you doing?
Good, good. Well, the question we have to ask, I'm going to ask it in English, but why do you think that Gary Shaw would do that to you after, you know, he got you a few fights on HBO, and then all of a sudden, like you said, you can't fight for a year? What do you think the reasoning is behind him doing that to you?
Dice que, ¿por qué crees tú que Gary Shaw no te ha dado esa pelea después de un año? Él te pudo agarrar peleas en HBO y ahora está que no te puede dar ninguna pelea. ¿Tú por qué crees que es eso?
Sinceramente no sabría por qué. Yo creo que he demostrado que estoy dentro de los mejores 154 que hay, y pues yo creo que simplemente no le importó y creo yo que Gary Shaw es el que podría responder bien esa pregunta de por qué no me ha peleado el Lenny Man. Él argumenta que no ha podido conseguir una pelea, pero yo creo que si él realmente quisiera, lo podía lograr.
Okay, he said that, you know, sincerely, he doesn't know why. You know, he thinks that that's the question that Gary Shaw is best to answer because he doesn't know either. And, you know, he says he thinks he's demonstrated that he's the best fighter at 154. He doesn't understand why he hasn't got a fight. You know, he says that, you know, he just doesn't know. You know, Gary Shaw will be the one that could answer that best.
And then, Beto, how do you feel in the year that you've been gone? Your Mexican counterparts like Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. have picked up titles while you've kind of been on the sidelines.
Dice que cómo te sientes sabiendo después de un año sin pelear, tú miras a otros peleadores mexicanos como, you know, Canelo Alvarez y Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. que están ganando títulos del mundo. ¿Cómo te sientes tú acerca de eso sabiendo que eso está pasando y tú no puedes pelear ahorita?
Eso es uno de los motivos por el cual estoy yo regresando al ring, porque pues sinceramente pues siento gusto porque pues son mexicanos Julio César y Canelo Álvarez, pero uno como el otro no han enfrentado a ningún rival de calidad como para ganarse la oportunidad de haber peleado por el campeonato del mundo. Y ¿qué más te puedo decir? Yo solamente me dedico a hacer mi trabajo y yo creo que ellos también lo ven.
He said, you know, because they're Mexican, he's happy for them, but at the same time, you know, he thinks that they haven't faced any quality opponents to be called champions, you know, and as far as him, he's just dedicating himself right now and hopefully be in that same position pretty soon. I'll say it in English first. You know, you had a very, you know, close relationship with Gary Shaw. Every time I talked to him, he'd always smile and said that you were like a son to him. Given everything that's happened this whole year, what are your thoughts on him now, personally? Pero la relación con tú y Gary Shaw siempre ha sido muy cercana. Cuando he hablado de él con él, acerca de ti, él siempre se reía y decía que eras como un hijo para él. Sabiendo todo lo que ha pasado en este año, ¿qué son tus pensamientos acerca de él personalmente ahora?
Pues eso es algo que hasta ahorita no podía entender. Creo yo que él decía que yo era un hijo para él y creo yo que yo se lo demostré muchas veces. Una de las ocasiones más fuertes que yo puedo recordar es el día que falleció su papá. Ningún peleador asistió al funeral. Yo fui al funeral de papá de Gary Shaw por lo mismo, porque yo sentía mucho cariño hacia él, pero él cambió de la noche a la mañana. Cambió de la noche a la mañana y hasta ahorita no sé por qué, la verdad. Y yo creo que no supo apreciar lo que él tenía a un lado.
He says that, you know, he just can't understand it. You know, he says, you know, he says he was a son to him, but, you know, he didn't feel like that's the case. Now he says that he himself demonstrated to him that he was like a son. He says, you know, he was there for his, you know, worst moments when Gary Shaw's dad passed away. He said he was, I think, one of the only fighters there at the funeral, and that's how he demonstrated that for him. And, you know, for the same reason, you know, because he cared for him as well, but he just feels that Gary, you know, changed, you know, almost overnight, you know, and you know, just leaves it at that.
Pero, what is your current legal status as far as being able to fight in the U.S.? You know, if it's something that you legally can't talk about, that's fine. But I guess the boxing fans want to know, you know, one, can you fight in the U.S. anytime soon? And two, if you are, after August 20th, when can we expect to see Beto back in the ring? In the U.S.
Dice que, ¿qué es tu situación ahorita legalmente? Si hay algo que no puedes hablar, está bien, pero él cree que todos los fanáticos quieren saber qué es tu situación ahorita legalmente. Y uno, si ¿cuándo vas a poder pelear en los Estados Unidos? Y después de agosto 20, ¿cuándo te podemos esperar a que puedas mirarte pelear aquí en los Estados Unidos?
Pues yo por mí peleaba mañana en Estados Unidos, pero eso ya depende de la gente que está encargada de eso. Ya se hizo todo, mi visa ya está aprobada, simplemente estamos esperando que la gente correcta firme los papeles y me llamen para ir a recoger mi visa. Es todo lo que estamos esperando, nada más. Como puede ser hoy, puede ser mañana, puede ser la semana que viene que me hablen para que vaya y recoja mi visa. Eso ya depende de la gente de Estados Unidos.
He said, you know, if it was up to him, he'd fight here tomorrow. But as of right now, he said his visa is approved. He's just waiting for the right people to sign off on it so he can pick it up. And, you know, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week. You know, it's just a waiting game at this point. And it just really depends on when the U.S. signs off on his visa.
So it's not a matter of whether he can again. It's just whether he can or not. It's just when they're actually going to approve him. But he will be able to fight in the U.S. again, correct?
Entonces es una situación de que no puedes pelear, pero es una situación donde tienes que esperar para poder pelear en los Estados Unidos otra vez.
Así es, nada más es de que estampen mi visa en mi pasaporte para poder regresar a Estados Unidos.
He said that's correct. He goes, all he's waiting for is them to sign up on his visa, stamp his passport, and you know, be able to come over to the U.S.
Cool, very good. As you know, Pedro, there were a lot of rumors out there about you, considering that, you know, since you went silent for almost a year. I want to see if you wanted to clear up some of the rumors about what's gone on with Pedro Angulo. One, first and foremost, were you deported for running people across the border? I think that's the number one thing that people were speculating out here, is that you were convicted or you were charged or you were caught running Mexican citizens across the border illegally. Do you want to clear that up?
Pero dice que cuando tú te fuiste por un año hubieron muchos rumores, la gente decían diferentes cosas. Él te quiere dar la oportunidad de poder aclarar esos rumores. Y el primero es que dice que tú fuiste deportado porque trataste de meter a ciudadanos del México a los Estados Unidos ilegalmente y que fuiste cargado o te agarraron tratando de hacer eso. Él quiere saber si eso es verdad o puedes aclarar eso para nosotros.
Pues yo creo que si yo hubiera intentado eso que los rumores dicen, yo creo que todavía estuviera en la cárcel. no hubiera peleado y no estuviera fuera. Yo creo que estuviera en the jail.
Yeah, he said, you know, if I had done that, you know, I think I'd still be in jail right now. He goes, I wouldn't be fighting, I wouldn't be on HBO, I wouldn't be doing anything. I'd be in jail right now if that were true.
So the rumors about you having to drive all the way to Florida because you couldn't fly are completely 100% false.
So el rumor que tuviste que manejar hasta Florida para tu pelea y no pudiste volar, eso es pura, es mentira.
¿El rumor de qué, perdón?
El rumor de que tuviste que manejar hasta Florida porque no podías volar por tu visa. ¿Él quiere saber si eso es mentira?
Pues mira, ya ustedes, yo tengo pues un grupo grande,
yeah.
mi equipo es grande y yo creo que todos estuvieron conmigo en esta ocasión especial para mí porque era una gran pelea. Decidimos manejar para que pudieran ir todos. Gary me quiso mandar como 15 días antes. Yo lo consulté con el que era mi entrenador en ese entonces. él me dijo que no, que porque no podía dejar de boxear. Y pues simplemente creo que ya conocen a Jerry, que le gusta economizar en muchas cosas.
Okay, he said, you know, basically, you know, he has a big, his team is a big group. And he wanted them all to be there for that fight. It was a, you know, a special fight for him. And they decided to drive so everybody could go. And then Gary told them that he actually wanted him there 15 days before the fight. You know, and Perro consulted with his trainer at the time. And he told him, no, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to stop boxing or training at that time. So, you know, they decided to drive over. It had nothing to do with a visa or anything like that.
Okay. One more rumor I want to address is after all this kind of said and done, there had been rumors that you were about to sign with Golden Boy Promotions, something that they kind of denied, in large part, I think, because you still had ties to Gary Shaw. How true were those rumors? Were there anything factual about that? Were you indeed talking to Golden Boy about fighting for them and hopefully getting everything straightened out?
Dice que el último rumor que quiere aclarar él es de que muchos dijeron que Golden Boy te quería agarrar para la compañía de ellos. Eso es algo que ellos han dicho que no es verdad, pero porque todavía tenías contacto con Gary Shaw. Él quiere saber si en ningún momento ellos trataron de contactarte a ti o tratar contigo y si algo de eso es verdad.
Pues no, esa es otra. Eso es una mentira. Yo conozco a Oscar desde hace muchos años. Yo lo conozco, no nada más conozco a Oscar, conozco a su papá y conozco a mucha de su familia. Inclusive un familiar de él trabaja conmigo en mi esquina, Nacho de la Olla, trabaja conmigo en mi esquina. Y pues yo me llevo bien con Oscar y nunca... No, pasó de una relación de amistad, nunca hablamos de Jorge y yo en ningún momento. Y mucha gente argumentó que yo me quería ir con Oscar o cosas así, pero eso es una vil mentira.
He says, you know, that's just another lie. You know, he knows Oscar personally, he's known him for many, many years, and he knows his dad, he knows his family. And actually, one of Oscar's family members actually works in his corner, you know. And you know, never did him and Oscar ever their friendship ever go past into business. It was always just a normal friendship, and it was just different people saying that, you know, Golden Boy is trying to sign him, but you know, none of that is true.
And Pedro, I spoke to your old trainer Clemente Medina last week, and he said that he's no longer training you. And that your fight on August 20th was going to be against the Colombian JC Candelo. And then we read a report that actually that Ernie wrote that is not your opponent. Can you clarify who you're fighting in August and your trainer situation?
Dice Ryan que él recientemente habló con tu trainer Clemente Medina y dijo que ya no te está entrenando a ti y que para tu pelea en agosto 20 que tu oponente va a ser el colombiano JC Candelo. Él quiere saber si eso es verdad y qué es tu situación ahorita con tu entrenador.
Pues efectivamente, Clemente Medina ya no es mi entrenador, porque salió una nota donde él argumentaba que iba a pelear con Jesse Candelo y eso, pues sinceramente no es verdad. No sé yo con quién voy a pelear. Mi manager es el que está encargado de eso, mis abogados son los que están negociando ahorita eso, yo hasta ahorita no sé quién es la persona con la que yo voy a pelear el 20 de agosto. Lo único que yo sé es que debe ser un oponente de calidad.
Okay, he said that, you know, yeah, Clemente is no longer his trainer, and he said because he said that he was saying a rumor that he's going to fight JC Candelo, and that's not true at all. He said he still doesn't know who his opponent is. He doesn't know who he's going to fight, and that his managers and his lawyers are actually the ones actually negotiating that as we speak. And, you know, he just hopes that it's a quality opponent that they get him, but at this moment, he doesn't even know who he's fighting.
And also,
go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say also, can he clear up his managerial status? I know Mike Crisio was his manager. I believe he's not anymore. Who is he working with now?
Ryan, quiere saber que quién es tu manejador ahorita, qué es tu situación ahorita, y quién está manejando tu carrera ahorita.
So I'm Mike Miller, my manager. Y Cameron Duncan.
Basically, Mike Miller's his manager, and he's also working with Cameron Duncan. Pero, I'll ask it in English. You know, you've been away from the sport for a while. Aside from the actual being in the ring, boxing, what do you miss the most right now? Sabiendo que has estado fuera del ring por un año, y además de no poder pelear, ¿qué extrañas más ahorita tú de tu situación? ¿Qué extrañas más de ahorita?
Mira, lo que más extraño es, pues a mis amigos que tengo en Los Ángeles, que son la mayoría de todos los reporteros, que me llevo muy bien con todos. Y pero lo que más extraño es el poder, el no poder recoger a mi hija de la escuela, cuando sale de la escuela, y del box extraño muchísimo a los fans. A la gente es la que me mantiene de pie todavía peleando con la gente que tiene mucho poder y muchas influencias y mucho dinero. Pero yo lo que les digo es de que hay algo con lo que ellos no van a poder, que es el cariño de la gente y de los fans y del público, que gracias a Dios hasta ahorita yo lo tengo. Y a pesar de que tengo un año sin pelear, la gente sigue mencionando mi nombre, y es algo por lo cual yo estoy muy contento, y que no tengo cómo pagarle todo ese cariño que la gente me tiene, más que el entrenando muy duro día con día para darles un buen espectáculo en cada pelea, y principalmente en la del 20 de agosto.
Okay, he said that basically what he misses the most right now is he misses all his friends out here, the reporters that he gets along with so well, but you know what he misses the most is not being able to pick up his daughter from school. You know, that's something that he used to love doing, and he also misses the fans, just the people in general. You know, they're the ones that keep him fighting. You know, and they always tell him, when are you going to fight again? And you know, it's just, you know, the fans, the love the fans show him is something that he really, really, really appreciates. And even after being off a year, you know, the fact that people are still saying his name and, you know, still mentioning him makes him really happy. And the only way he can repay him is by, you know, training hard and working hard and you know, trying to get back into the ring.
Pero, you mentioned Pero Promociones. Is it your plan? Do you want to promote other fighters? Are you looking to put on shows, not just for your own fights, but for, you know, up-and-coming prospects?
Pero, mencionaste su nueva compañía, Pero Promotions. ¿Estás planeando promotar otros peleadores además de tú mismo, o es nomás solo para tus peleas?
La verdad que no, nada más hice eso para poder pelear yo, porque como te digo, o sea, ya amenazó con demandar a cualquier compañía que me diera una pelea, y pues sinceramente nadie quiere meterse en problemas. Así que el único que se iba a animar a hacer una función, pues soy yo. La tuve que hacer. Y el 20 de agosto va a ser la primer pelea bajo mi propia versión. A eso me obligaron a hacer yo un promotor para poder pelear yo mismo, para que la gente siga deleitándose con un gran espectáculo de boxeo, con buenas peleas.
He says, you know, the truth is he basically just created the company just so he could fight. You know, Gary pretty much threatened every promotional company to stay away from him, you know, or else he'd sue him and take legal action. And, you know, nobody wants to get into any trouble, so they're staying away from him. So he had no choice. He had to do it. And on August 20th will be the first fight under the new promotional banner. And, you know, they basically forced him to become a promoter because that's the only way that he'll be able to fight, and at least he'll be able to give the fans good and exciting fights that way.
Beto, real quick, do we know if there's going to be some type of TV output, U.S. TV output, for your August 20th fight? Can we look forward to seeing Beto on TV August 20th?
Quiero saber si tu pelea en agosto 20, si hay una manera que va a estar televisada en una televisión en los Estados Unidos o tal vez en el internet. No hay ninguna manera que podamos mirar esa pelea.
Estoy trabajando muy duro con eso, y la gente que mis abogados y toda esa gente está trabajando muy duro día con día para que así sea, para que sea televisada y que muchísima gente pueda ver el regreso de del perro Angulo el 20 de agosto.
He said, you know, he's working really hard on that. His lawyers are working hard day to day to try to get this fight televised, you know, because, you know, he wants to see everybody see him make his comeback. And, you know, he knows a lot of people want to see him. So, you know, he's working really hard on that. And, you know, hopefully he could do that.
Cool. Well, Beto, I want to thank you. I know it's been tough. All of us out here in Los Angeles miss you. We miss your joking around the most. I personally miss you calling me Mandilon. Hopefully we can see you back in the U.S., my friend. It's been a long time. It's been too long. And once we get this all straightened out, it'll be nice to have you back, Beto. And good luck on August 20th. And we'd love to have you on again and again and again so you can speak your mind. Thank you.
Dice Ernie que te quiere las gracias por venir ahora a hablar con nosotros. Dice que sabe que tu situación ahorita está bien difícil, pero que nos extrañamos todos. Extraña cómo bromeas con todos tú, y extraña cuando tú llamas Mandilón a él. Y dice que, you know, que ojalá te podamos mirar pronto, y que ojalá puedas regresar al programa, hablar con nosotros otra vez.
Barney, thank you for your help, my kids, for, you know, the gloves and timer and everything I need for the gym. You help me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay.
My pleasure,
you
Beto.
To your wife. Hi. Thank you so much. Bueno, loco. I'm very happy. Por oírte. Estoy muy contento de estar con ustedes, y espero que estén presentes el 20 de agosto en función. Toda la prensa americana va a ser tratada de la mejor manera, como ellos me han tratado a mí. De la misma forma los voy a tratar yo aquí en mi casa, en Mexicali. Tienen las puertas abiertas.
He just said, you know, thanks a lot. And, you know, hopefully we can be there to support his event on August 20th. And, you know, just the same way, you know, the media has given him, you know, always welcomed him, he welcomes everybody to come see him fight down and where he's going to be fighting at.
Cool. Thank you, Beto.
Cuídate, Beto.
Gracias, Beto.
Thank you, Ernie. Gracias.
Oh, my pleasure, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Okay, okay.
Okay, you too. I'll tell my wife you said hi.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. You guys were just on with Beto Angulo. I think we cleared the air. I think that was a lot of good information. A lot of that, what he had said right now, he had said in Montoya's article previously, but it's nice to hear it from his words and his own mouth, and it sounds, you know, it sounds to me like he's a sad guy right now.
Yeah, you know, I am glad to hear, though, that it's just a matter of time now, which, you know, could also be a bad thing, but at least his, you know, his documents are submitted, and I think it's just a matter of him waiting, and as soon as those papers are signed, I mean, we'll have him back here. I'm sure his promotional, you know, saga will continue, but, you know, hopefully he gets that visa signed soon.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. We got a couple minutes. Let's talk a little bit before we get our second guest on, Bam Bam Brandon Rios. You want to revisit July 9th before we get on, Brandon? you know, July 9th was a pretty exciting weekend for boxing fans. And in a lot of ways, it was a kind of a sad moment for boxing fans, because I think we saw it rear its ugly head. So with, you know, kind of what a lot of casual fans and people who kind of look at boxing with disdain point directly to things like, you know, what happened to the Williams-Lara controversy. I, for one, I'm a big P-Will fan. Lewis can attest. I've been a P-Will fan for a long time, and I couldn't justify giving the guy more than four rounds, and I was being generous. And to have the judges, I mean, not a single judge actually had Lara, you know, winning at all. It just speaks volumes as to whether it was. Now, here's the question that I guess maybe I'll ask you guys: was it ineptitude, or was, do you think there was something really fishy going on?
I gotta think there's something fishy going on there. I mean, even if you look at, I think they released the photos, or somebody took a photo of the three scorecards, and one of the judges actually changed a score to Paul Williams in the second round, and that change there actually gave the final tally to Paul Williams, and he got the decision based off that card. You know, I'd like to think that these guys don't know what they're doing, but you know, I think they knew what they were doing, and I think, you know, I just hate to see stuff like this, because any casual fan that was watching that fight automatically is going to come to the assumption that boxing is fixed, and we hear that enough already from people that aren't really familiar with the sport, and it's stuff like this that keeps adding fuel to the fire, and you know, it's just unacceptable, and I'm glad those judges were suspended. I mean, I know it's not a lot, but at least you know, the commission did something. You know, most of the times we see these horrible decisions, the commission says they're going to investigate, and we don't hear anything else after that. So hopefully they follow up on these guys and, you know, stop this stuff from happening, because it's really giving the sport a black eye.
Ryan, what are your thoughts? Did you see it any close to anything close for a P-Will victory?
No, I agree. It was an 8-4 or 9-3 for Iris Landy. It was the only way I could see that fight scored. I'm not sure if the fix was in, if the judges were just bad. You know, I hate to say the word fix when you don't have, you know, concrete evidence, but it definitely smelled fishy. We can say that.
Yeah.
But I have a couple questions for you guys. What do you think? Do you think they should do a rematch, or do you think HBO should just let Lara go on to fight someone else? And the other question is P-Will done? Can he come back from that?
You know, honestly, the way Paul was slurring the post-fight, the way he kind of was slow, you know, even pre-fight, I think his best days are behind him. And I think, you know, when people were saying, because he made comments where he said essentially two more fights, three more fights, and he was done. I think even he now maybe realizes that his mortality is on the doorstep, and it's almost, actually almost opening the door. I think, you know, I think a lot of people have the blueprint as to kind of how to beat Paul. I mean, he's always been an active fighter, and I think you can expose those things. I think that's one of the tough things for a guy who's seemingly invincible. You know, once people find a blueprint as to how to beat you, it becomes, you know, almost second nature to a lot of these guys, and you see guys go on streaks where they just look bad or they lose. And I think Paul's in that rut, and I think, you know, if he doesn't do any drastic changes, I don't see how he can go on and be successful.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to calling him done or shot, but you know, he definitely needs to make some adjustments. You know, I know his trainer said that, you know, no changes needed to be made, and I hope, you know, after seeing this fight, I mean, he realizes that they need to do something. And,
yeah,
that's
the same guy that kept saying that Martinez landed a lucky punch. I mean, he landed like 40 or 50 lucky punches in the span of two fights.
Exactly, and, you know, and so I hope he really does. You know, and when I say, you know, changes, I mean, he doesn't have to change his complete style around, but, you know, keeping that right hand up, being a little bit more conscious of getting away from those fights. You know, I agree with Roy when he was saying, I mean, you just can't keep getting hit with the same punch over and over, especially when it's landing flush. And I mean, if Lara had a little bit more power, and if Williams' chin was a little bit less, I mean, he probably would have had the same result as the Martinez fight, you know. And you know, for his sake, I really hope that they do make an adjustment. And you know, for Lara, I'd like to see a rematch, because I think he really wants to clear the air on that. But at this point, I don't even think it's necessary, because the decision, I mean, I think everybody that watched that fight except those two judges knows who won that fight. And, you know, so I think Lara hopefully gets rewarded with a, you know, a bigger fight, and you know, they bring him back on HBO.
How about a Lara Molina rematch?
See, now I wouldn't mind seeing that, and that kind of segues into the other card that we have. For me, for one, I think judging by the way Carlos has fought now two fights in a row after a 2-year layoff, I think the kid's a legitimate guy at 54. He even said that, you know, I did an interview with him after the Cintron fight. He can even drop down to 47. I, for one, I'd welcome it. You know, I think it'd be great to see you know, that fight happen, because in my opinion, I thought he beat Lara pretty easily. And, you know, conversely, I think Lara beat Pete Will beat pretty easily. So why not make that happen? Why not settle it once and for all who you think was, you know, was the better fighter of the two? Molina's efforts against Cintron, I don't know. I mean, granted, you know, Cintron, I guess, told the press that he couldn't do anything. He saw things, but he couldn't pull the trigger, and he just didn't know what was wrong with him. But not to take anything away from Carlos's performance, I thought it was an excellent performance. I thought he had the exact blueprint to beat Cintron, and Cintron had no answer.
Yeah, I agree. Molina really gave a good account of himself in that fight. I mean, you know, he easily beat Cintron, and I like to see it. I like to see Lara and Cintron do it again. It was a close fight. You know, I think both guys actually showcased themselves pretty well. You know, Lara beating Paul Williams pretty convincingly. Unfortunately, he didn't get the decision. And, you know, Molina did a great job against Cintron. And, you know, if they want to do it again, that's great. You know, I'm sure Laura will probably want a bigger name opponent. But, you know, from a fan point's perspective, I mean, that's a fight I'd like to see again.
Here's a thought. How about Molina Wolak on December 3rd?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
That would be fireworks. I think Molina's skilled enough to where he can give, you know, as good an account of himself inside as Wolak could. You know. Right. What you think?
Yeah, I think Wolak Molina be a good fight. I mean, when we saw Molina against Lara, it was a close fight. I personally thought Molina won 6 rounds and won that fight 6-4.
Yeah.
But there were a few rounds that could go either way, so I couldn't really complain about the draw either. But I would rather see the rematch just to solve the unfinished business. But a fight with Wolak, I think that would be a really good fight. Both guys come forward, so they don't have a lot of power, either guy, but they fight aggressively as if they had a lot of power.
Yeah. Which kind of brings us to the reason why a lot of us become boxing fans, and that was the 3-round war that we saw headline the Carson, California Showtime card, and that was Bam Bam Brandon Rios versus Urbano Antillon. And it was, I got to be honest with you, it was a culmination of everything that had happened prior to the buildup of the fight. I mean, mind you, this had gone on for not just recently when they signed the fight, but this had gone on previously about 14 months when they first signed initially the fight. And Brandon had got cut, and Urbano had questioned whether he wanted the fight or not. It just kept carrying on, and when the fight was finally signed, you know, both guys went back at it again, and both guys promised to come forward, and they did, and they gave us a hell of a fight. And a lot of people likened it to Castillo Corrales. I thought it was more Hagler-Hearns because of the hate factor that they had in it, and if they brought it. And what could you say about it? Honestly, I think we saw a star born that Saturday. I really do. I think he electrified the audience. The audience went crazy. I'm sure the fans who were watching on Showtime really dug what they saw. And I, for one, think the potential of Brandon's star power is out there now, and it's something that we can actually see on the horizon.
And another thing that, you know, most fight fans can appreciate is a guy who talks the talk and walks the walk, unlike a David Haye who sold that fight and came out and did the total opposite. You know, at least with Brandon, you know, that's one thing I really like about him. I think a lot of fans, you know, like that about him too. Is, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he'll talk and he'll go in there and he'll give it his all. I mean, you know, you could tell that when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And, you know, for that first round, I knew it was going to end early. I mean, there was no way they could keep that pace up. And, you know, Brandon was just landing the harder, crisper punches. And, you know, he put Antillon down, and that was pretty much it. I mean, it was an exciting fight, a short fight. But I think, you know, I was in the arena and everybody there was just, you know, pretty excited, even though it was a short fight.
I agree. It was fireworks. To me, I thought Brandon's star power started with the Costa fight. I mean, he was just getting tagged up the first four or five rounds, and he turned it around. To come back against a guy like Costa, who had knocked out Antion before, has power, has speed. That, to me, showed not only his heart, but just his determination and will. And to me, that's the fight that made him a star, and this fight on the ninth basically just added to his star power that he already had.
Agreed. And let me, speaking of which, let me patch him on through and see if he picks up. So where do you think Brandon goes from here? Let me see if he answers.
Hello?
Brandon.
Who is this? This is Brandon. Who is this?
This is your Everlast representative.
Who is that guy? What's up, dude?
What's up, dude? You're on the air. This is the new show, The Boxing Lab. The Boxing Lab welcomes WBA lightweight champion of the world, Bam Bam Brandon Rios. Bam Bam, thank you for coming on. Thank you for doing me this favor and joining the show. How's it going?
Nah, it's not thank you for the favor. It's like thank you for having me on your show, bro. What's up? You already know what's up. You already know me. You told me you'd be on the show. I'm there, buddy.
Yeah, I know, I know.
You.
But still, it's always nice to have you.
Before this interview goes on anymore, can I cuss on it or I can't cuss? Because
yeah,
I don't want to say that something.
Please.
So it doesn't make a difference if I cuss or not.
No, not at all. This is...
Well, if that's
the
case, well, fuck, damn, motherfucker, that's just gangster to the motherfucking shit, dog.
So what's going on, man? I know what's going on, but why don't you tell everybody where you're at and why you're there?
Well, yesterday I got here to Garden City, Kansas, back in the home. So the homestead, I haven't been here for a year and a half because I was in Cali trying to determine and get my world title because I wanted to win it this year, and I did. And today I came back to Garden City, Kansas because there was a presentation. They was giving me the key of the city. And, you know, there's only two people this year that got the key of the city, so it's an honor for them to give me that, and it was an honor for myself to receive that, especially coming from your hometown, you know, the roots. You can't forget about your roots.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit about that, and, you know, considering where you started and how much of an opportunity people didn't give you, you're pretty happy about this, huh?
I am pretty happy because when I tell you the truth, you know, the way, like you said, the way I started, you know, coming up at first, you know, I was a bad kid. I was a fuck up. I was in and out of jail. I was pretty a horrible kid, you know, growing up. I didn't have a good childhood. And, you know, growing up, just messing up all the time. And then, you know, turned my life around and, you know, became a world champion and everything. You just realized that, you know, kids look up to me, so I got to follow through with it and just try to be a much positive role model I can before anything else. So, and it turned my life around. Now a lot of people is like, oh, man, you know, you're making us proud and this and that. I was like, motherfuckers, remember some of you guys was doubting me, so I would never be nothing. But now, you know, the table's turned. Now y'all are like, oh, yeah, now you making us proud. So, you know, it's an honor now just to see this. The city recognized the talent coming out of here and presented me this key, this award, the key of the city. So I'm very happy.
Hey Brandon, this is Luis Sandoval. You know, the first time I met you, and you probably don't remember this, was at a Chris Arreola fight out in Ontario. And I remember back then, I don't think you had a big fight yet, and you were happy about, you know, your wife having a baby. Can you explain the transition from going to that to the position you're at now, where, I mean, everybody knows you, you're headlining your own cards, and you're pretty much on top of the world. I mean, you got key to the city. I mean, can you explain the transition from where you said you started from, you know, a real hard beginning to where you're at now?
Well, you know, there's no, you know, it's just, you know, more dedication and more dedicated to the sport and making sure that I do well in the sport for the business, for not only for myself, but for my kids, you know, because that's my money maker for them, and that's how I provide for them. Not only that, but, you know, like I said, I just had to change up a little bit because a lot of little kids was looking up to me, so I had to be a good positive role model for them and show them if you believe, if you can accomplish something and go for your whatever, stick to your goals and dreams come true. No matter what you want to be in life, dreams come true. So just stick to whatever you wanted to be in life, and you know, and stuff like that. So it was a blessing, you know, just turning my, just turning around and see the good instead of the bad. Now, I'm still the same person. I'm still the same guy. I haven't changed since I, you know, people was like, yeah, I am. I got main events now on telecast and stuff like that, and people do consider me one of the big guys, the main guy at 135 right now since Marquez moved up and Soto. So I'm still the same person. I don't let the fame get to me. So it's like whatever to me. To tell you the truth, it's like, man, it's just another day in the office, just putting the hard work and making sure I do good for the fans and give the fans what they want. That's about it. You know, I'm still the same fucking crazy fucker that you ever see before.
Hey, Brandon, this is Ryan Burton. I got a question for you. You mentioned Soto and you mentioned Marquez, and also Robert Guerrero is moving up to fight Maidana. Where does that leave you? Who at 135 would you like to fight?
Man, I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but there's a little birdie going around. It could be Mike Casitas or Kevin Mitchell. The guy just beat John Murray in England. So, you know, those two guys, there's a little birdies going around. So I ain't talking about it, but I don't know whoever. I think after those two guys, I think there's nobody there for me. That's why I think I'm considered the best guy right now at 135. I consider myself a beast. I know Mochito Gesta, whatever his name is, he wants a piece of me. And to me, I think that it's too soon for him. He won't be able to handle me. I'll tell you that right now. That guy won't be able to handle me, and I'll tell him in his face, too. Anthony thought I was nobody, and he thought I couldn't handle him. It was the other way around. He couldn't handle me, and I know what I bring to the table. And I know when I train, I'm focused and ready. Guys like that, they can't handle me. And when I'm on my game and when I'm on my shit, I'm a beast. I'm on a different level. So right now, I think I'm the man, you know. Pretty soon, maybe two or three more fights. Like, I think two more fights, I'll be moving up to 140 and challenge the big guys right there. That's what I want. And I want to go after the toughest son of a bitch at 140, so I can say I beat the toughest son of a bitch.
Well, we can't confirm anything yet, but that Mercito is going to be back on, or is going to be on the radio show pretty soon. So I'm sure he may have another comment for you to hype that up a little bit. But we've also heard rumors from Pop that that same little birdie is saying that you're probably going to be on the Manny Pacquiao Juan Manuel Marquez undercard. Have you heard that?
Yeah, that's the thing in November. But first of all, I got to get my hair and my hand cleared up first. With Antion, you know, I did x-rays. My hand's not broken, but I'm going to do MRIs and make sure everything else is okay. Just to see, I think I turned muscle tissue or maybe a tendons or something fucked up or something in my hand. But after that, then, you know, we'll go from there. But I've been hearing that, too, that I'm going to be fighting on that card, and that'd be a badass card to fight on. It would be a big card, too. So it's pretty fucking awesome, not only that, but whoever it is, if they want to bring Mexican versus Filipino that night, bring Guest on. I'll fucking tear his ass up. I'll rip a new asshole. I'm ready for that guy.
Oh, man, Brandon. So you touched upon the hand. How's it feeling right now? I know that a couple of days out, it was pretty swollen, but how is it right now?
So since the swollen went down, you know, it still hurts me here and there. You know, I've been taking painkillers just so I can forget about it a little bit. But when I'm off it, it hurts when I move it certain ways and stuff. But like I said, the swollen came down, everything. It hurts here and there, but I think it's a muscle tissue that we messed up, or it could be a tendonitis. So we'll be ready for whatever, you know. We just wait to the 21st. I have an MRI, so after that, then if it's a November fight, I'll be ready for whoever they bring to the table. My job is to be ready and prepare myself and kick some ass.
And Brandon, taking you back to the to July 9th against Antillion. You know, you guys had a lot of animosity going into the fight, but afterwards, you know, you guys shook hands, you guys exchanged smiles and words. Was that respect always there for him, or is that something he earned that night after you beat him?
It's not that something he earned, you know. Urbano is Urbano, and I'm Brandon Rios. And, you know, I'm a dick. I'm an asshole. I'll admit it. This guy, you know, he was talking too much shit and running in the mouth saying I've never been tested and that I'm nobody to him, that he's going to knock me out in the first round, this and that, you know. And I was like, this motherfucker got something else coming if he thinks he's going to knock me out in the first round. So, you know, Robert's the one that told me, hey, go shake Urbano's hand. And that's when, because I was not going to do it, you know, because what he said and shit like that, you know, he really fucking, you're like, man, this dude fucking running his mouth, you know. So I did it because Robert told me, you know, not only that, but, yeah, you know, he did earn a little respect because he got up after the first knockdown, and he was really hurt. And the second knockdown, he was out of it. And, you know, he got up. He showed balls, and that's why he's a warrior. And that's why people like to see him fight. And he got up. So, you know, he did earn a little respect, but still, it's like fucking whatever, you know. He goes his way and do his shit. I do my, go my way and do my shit. But I told everybody that I was going to knock his ass out.
Yeah. And the other question, besides a Pacquiao fight, what fight right now, you know, if it were up to you specifically, what fight would you want to make right now, regardless of, you know, if they're at 140 or 135, who do you want to fight?
Whoever they want, it's all good. I don't really care, you know. Whoever, you know, Bob Arum, he said, I couple more experience, I can go to 147, a couple more years, 2013. He think I'm the man that can get Pacquiao a hell of a fight. That's something pretty cool, you know. That never occurred to me that I can, that they would even think about that. They have big plans for me, but at 140, but when I move up, I want, like I told everybody, I want the toughest guy. Madonna's a hell of a fucking warrior. He's a tough motherfucker. If it's not Madonna, there's Khan. Khan is a beast, but he'd probably be moving up by the time I move up. There's Bradley, but, you know, that's kind of difficult because Bradley, we got the same manager.
Well, how about the guy that avoided you at 135, Humberto Soto?
Oh, man, dude, that guy don't want none of me. That's why he went up. When I go to 140, I think he retired because he'll shit himself. it's crazy, dog. It's crazy how he considers himself a fucking champion and, you know, he's a fucking badass. But he don't want to fight me. This motherfucker has more experience than I do. He's been in more fights than I have. And he's been there for a long time, and he don't want to fight me. It's just insane. I've been wanting him for the longest, but now it's like whatever. To me, it's like this dude, he's history for me now, man. It's not even fucking, it's nothing to me no more.
Cool. Now, I was at the press conference, and I was there when Bob mentioned Manny Pacquiao. What were your initial thoughts when Bob said that? When he said, you know what, I think this is an exciting fight. I think this is something we can make down the road. Your eyes had to have been pretty lit up by then.
Yeah, because like I said, it never occurred to me, and I never thought that, you know, they would mention my name for him. You know, I thought I would be had to get more, little, way more experience, you know, because Pacquiao, he's a beast, and I give him all the credit in the world. He's done a lot in the career in boxing. But when they said that, when Bob Arum said that, I'm the guy that he thinks I can match the speed and the power and something else he said, I was like, wow. If Bob Arum said that, and Bob Arum knows the business, he's the man right now. He's the best promoter out there. And he's saying that, it's like saying, wow, that means I can give Pacquiao a hell of a good fight. Maybe even a better one than Marquez did. So it was awesome. I was very excited. I was like, wow, that just lit up my life to fucking train even harder.
So with you being on that card, or reportedly being on that card, after you fight, are you just going to sit there and watch and almost maybe scout both those guys, both Marquez and Pacquiao, in hopes of maybe, you know, sometime down the road you're going to end up fighting them?
After that fight happened, because I'm pretty sure Pacquiao will win, I want to go to Marquez and tell him, hey, come down to 135 and let's get it on. And then
one more time before you move up?
Yeah, I'm going to say, let's get it on one more time. Let's get the fans, before you quit boxing, let's do a pay-per-view show with me and you, main event. And then after that, and then we'll go from there. So, you know, if I beat Marquez in a good fashion, in a good way, I think that just opened Bob's eyes and say, man, Brandon is ready already. This guy's ready. because I feel that I have a lot of experience and a lot of I've been boxing since I was 8. I feel that I have a lot of experience. I got almost 300 amateur fights, and I'm ready, dude. I'm right now. I'm at the top of my game right now. I'm fucking 100% focused. What I want and what I want in boxing and what I want to achieve in boxing. So I'm ready.
Hey Brandon, another question. You know, most fighters, you know, when they grow up, or even you know, even now, there's some fighters that you might look at and then try to borrow from or look at and see what they do. What were some of the fighters that when you were coming up that you looked at, that you studied, that you try to maybe, you know, emulate a little bit?
There was, you know, like I was saying, all of the, there was Julio Cesar Chavez, Diego Corrales, Jose Castillo, there was Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward. Those five fights right there, they were just amazing. And I meant Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., not Junior. Those fights are... just to get that straight. But those fights right there, those guys I always looked up to because the way they fight... And it has a similar style as mine. I had the same style since I was little, and I always brought it. And it's the same style they have. And that type of fight I always watched when I was little. And you know, I still watch them once in a while. You know, Arturo Gatti, I still watch those fights because those with him and Mickey Ward, that was a hell of a war they did, and it was awesome. And I learned little bit things from each and one of them, like uppercuts, the body shots, and the straight right hand. You know, shit like that. You know, my defense. I don't have the best defense, but you know what? I think I don't have the best head movement and stuff like that, but I got good defense. Some of the shots don't land, some of the shots do, because I block them with my gloves and everything. And I learned that from these guys, Chavez and all of them. So it's something that it helps out watching older guys, and it brings stuff to the table. So it's good.
Brandon, I just got a message from Jonathan Ramirez from Boxeo Mundial. He wants to know, what is your thoughts on Victor Ortiz getting the shot at Floyd Mayweather?
Well, you know, it's a good fight, you know. It's good, you know, good for Victor Ortiz, you know, that motherfucker, you know, he came out lucky. He got gold. He struck gold right now. He's like, he was digging for oil, and he struck it, and he got oil. So that motherfucker, he's lucky, and you know what? I give Floyd the best props in the whole world to get a young guy a chance to fight, because all these older guys, older champions and stuff like that don't get these young guys. Except the only person that did was Bernard Hawkins, and he turned him up. And Floyd did that, and especially to, you know, Victor, he got a lot of improvement. You know, he got a lot of people doubt him, so he wants to make a name for himself. So he's going to go out there like he did with Berto and just try to take it, you know. He's going to show a lot of heart and a lot of stuff, whatever he got to do to prove everybody wrong and again. So, you know what? I give Floyd all the props in the world, but I still think Floyd's still going to win. Cause, yeah, he beat Berto, that's good, but Floyd's a different person than Berto. He's not Berto, that's all I got to say.
Brandon, that brings up an interesting point. Guys like Pacquiao and Hopkins and Mayweather, they're all at kind of the end of the careers, and the star power that they brought is they're going to take with them. Do you feel it's important to you and to boxing that not only do you do what you're supposed to be doing in the ring, which nobody doubts, but is it also important to you to kind of carry the mantle of being the next big star, the guy that's going to bring the masses to the seats and in front of the TVs? Do you now feel that responsibility a little bit?
No, you know, I don't feel. I don't have no responsibility. So I don't feel nothing like that. You know, all I do is what I do. I just fight the way I fight, and you know, just give the fans what they want. Unfortunately, the fans, they like the way I fight. They like guys that go out and beat the shit out of each other, and don't run or nothing like that, and take punches to give punches. So I don't feel that I have big responsibility, but people like those type of fights, so, you know, it's right there, you know, it's not like, I think about it once in a while, but then again, I don't let that get to my head, because if the fans, they're going to like me for where I am, and if they don't, you know, well, you know, that's the fans' problem, that's not mine. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and just, hopefully I can please the fans what they want, you know, all the fans, they like Warriors, so, you know, that's, I have that Warrior mentality, and people love that, and the fans, they love that so far, so, it's a great honor to try to fill those dreams, to try to fill that place that with Pacquiao, Bernard Hawkins, and Floyd does, it's a great honor for me to come in there and try to fill that place in for these guys.
Cool. And speak upon that night, July 9th. I know when you walked in, there was a lot of blue. There was a lot of booze because of the Maywood crowd. It, you know, Maywood is a lot closer to Carson than Oxnard is. But
right.
You brought your own crowd. Now, at the end of the fight, after you had gone toe-to-toe with Antion, knocked him out, did what you said you were going to do, the crowd turned. I mean, a lot of the fans that came in and wanted to boo you had nothing but respect for you and gave you a cheer and cheered you on. How did that feel that night when you almost turned, you know, entire audience, not only was against you, but now for you?
That just show you what type of fighter I am. That just show you that I can change fans into my side because the fact that the balls I carry to the ring, the heart I carry, and the dedication that I have, and what I need to do to become maintain my belt, not only that, but become the best in my division. And fans, they see that night. They see, well, this motherfucker is. Because Maywood, everybody knows Antion. Antion's a warrior, and everybody knows that. So everybody thought, well, Brandon, they don't really know Brandon. Brandon ain't shit. He hasn't fought nobody. They all thought that because Antion was saying that shit. And they believe Antion because Antion's their hometown. So me going into there, you know, it's just, I think I changed a lot of opinions. They're like, fuck, Brandon's the real deal. Bam Bam is the real deal. This motherfucker is no joke. I don't care what anybody said. This guy got heart, balls. He got everything to become one of the greats. And he doesn't back down. Even he'll take a punch to give a punch. And fans, they like that shit. And I think they've seen that. And they're like, wow, we got a new star, a rising new star coming up. A young talent warrior, aggressive fighter. Name Bam Bam Rios. Everybody's gonna see that from here on out.
Cool, Brandon. Well, we thank you for coming on. I personally thank you for being on. It's the very first time that myself, Ryan, and Lewis have done this show. And keep doing what you do, man. I think from the start, you know, from the start of last year, which was Tyrone, to the point you are now, it's been mild. I mean, you've grown into an all around fighter. I think a lot of people who weren't too sure about you now are. They're thoroughly convinced that you're the real deal. And I, for one, on a personal level, I'll step aside from as host. I'm very proud of you. I think you've come a long way, and you've done an excellent job in saying, you know, in doing what you said you were going to do. One thing I'll remember this quote all the way. You told me one time, I talk shit, but I back it up, and it's true. And I, for one, as a boxing fan, thank you for that, and wish you nothing but the best.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. Your first time doing your show, it fucking sucked, dog. God damn it, this motherfucking show. Now, this show was badass. Hey, it's always a pleasure. Anytime, Ernie, you know, you already know what's up, man. I consider you a very close friend and like a brother to me, and I'm always just a phone call away for anything. For any of you guys that you associate with Ernie, you got good. You got a point in my system, because you're Ernie's good friend, or you talk to Ernie, you got points in my system. So you got brownies on my side, and I love the show, and I'll be on the show again whenever you want me to be on the show. Just call me, and I'm a phone call away. And you know what? Like you would say, I do talk a lot of shit. And that's one thing that's just me, you know. I'm just a shit talker. But like you said, like I quote a long time ago, I do back it up, though. Whatever word I meant, I'm going to try to feel, go for it and do what I meant. So, you know, it's just an honor to be on the show, Ernie. You know, thank you guys and appreciate it. One love, much love. Not only because I'm from Garden City, Kansas right now, from the 620 to the 805, we love you guys. Thank you.
All right, Brandon, take care and have a safe trip back.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
All right, take care.
Have a good one.
Reporting.
That was Brandon Rios. Pretty good interview right there, I have to say. It's nice, kind of a nice way to open up our first show.
Definitely.
I mean, what do you say about the guy? I think he's done a lot of convincing of people that not only is he, you know, a shit talker, but he's a genuine badass. You know, you can make a case for him being the best, you know, at 135, and I honestly think he is now. A lot of people say, Miguel Vasquez may have a claim to that. But to be honest with you, I don't know if a Miguel Vasquez can you know sustain enough of a boxing discipline to keep Brandon off.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of at 135. I mean, I can't pick anybody against him. I mean, you know, the fight that I did want to see, which he mentioned, was the Marquez fight. I think, you know, even Marquez at his age is probably the only guy that I think could give him a pretty hard time. But you know, Brandon's thing, you know, people gravitate to him. I mean, the way he is, he's a character. You know, he has charisma and everything. And you know, I think you know he proved to me, actually, it wasn't even that Antion fight. I mean, he proved to me in the Acosta fight that, you know, he was for real, because I think a lot of people were questioning whether he was going to win that fight. And, you know, the way he came back, you know, he was hurt and he came back, dug deep and, you know, returned to favor and won. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, you know what, this guy's for real. And, you know, I picked him to beat Antion. I didn't think he was going to get rid of him in three rounds, but, you know, it was even more impressive that he got him out of there that quick.
And I was going to just throw in, what do you guys think when he moves up to 140? Do you think there's a chance, you know, in a year or two from now, we maybe see a catchweight fight between him and Victor Ortiz at 143, 144?
Depends. I think Victor's comfortable at 47 now. I think he's found, you know, that sweating, boiling down to 140, you know, was probably a disadvantage to him. But I don't know if he'd be willing to come down to fight, you know, to fight Brandon. Honestly, to me, it seems like both guys, you know, they had their time last year where they were not, you know, the best of friends. I don't think they'll ever be best of friends. But, you know, I asked Brandon that a long time ago, you know, kind of like, you know, just before the Acosta fight. And he said he's moved on. He says, you know, it's you know, I don't like the guy. I'll never like the guy. I think he's, you know, this and that. But, you know, I got my own career to worry about. I'm not going to go chasing ghosts. And you know, I think Victor's moved on, too. I think he's got this Mayweather shot in front of him. You know, I think he's a better than the 8-1 dog that they make him out to be. And honestly, I think if their paths ever cross, it'd probably be at the end of both guys' careers rather than now.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't think Vic could do anything below 147 right now. I mean, even when he was fighting Maidana, I went to see him train, and even then he looked like a full-fledged welterweight. I don't know how he was making weight back then. I think, you know, maybe last year when they were both maybe, you know, a weight class apart, but I think now Vic's, you know, he's not coming back down. And I think, you know, Brandon, he's, you know, like you said, Ernie, I think that came and went. I think they're both concentrating on each other now, and I don't think, I don't think they'll ever like each other, but I think they're both just chose their own path now. They're not worried about each other.
Both are very successful, and I think that's aside from their personal beef. Let's move on. Let's move on to news and notes. Another one of Robert Garcia's fighters, Nonito Donaire, stays with Top Rank. After a whirlwind of issues, him reportedly going to Golden Boy, a lot of legal issues coming up with that. Aram throwing the legal team at him and basically essentially saying, no, you don't. Here, I've got you on contract. I think it's good. I think this is something, you know, that was inevitable, and I'm glad that both sides came to an agreement, so that way we can see Nonito, who's a really exciting fighter and just came into his own, not just with the Montiel fight, but the way he handled Sidorenko was very convincing, and not very many people have done that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's actually, you know, fixed his problems with Top Rank. You know, because the worst thing you want to see is a guy sitting idle. I mean, that's the worst thing for a fighter. And, you know, I'm glad he was able to fix whatever, you know, problems he had with Bob Arum. And, you know, I just want to see him back in the ring. And I think I read he might be back in the ring as soon as maybe November or something.
I think the story is that he's going to take a fight now and then aim towards December, Ryan?
Yeah, I've heard some of the same rumors, I guess you could say, that he has to get a fight, and doesn't he, by August, if he's going to not be stripped of his WBC belt?
Yeah, something along that line. And then they're angling him, I think, towards December 3rd, maybe being on the Cotto card. You know, I think that's kind of the tentative plan. So, I mean, hopefully we get to see, you know, Nonito two more times, maybe one more time to kind of compensate for the time that we lost. I mean, what we saw in February was so promising, and then for it to kind of falter the way it did was a shame. But, you know, it's good to see him settled up with Top Rank, and hopefully we get to see him soon, and hopefully we get to see him in a big fight. Hopefully maybe even the winner of Akbeko Mara's. You know, now that Golden Boy and Top Rank seem to be talking to each other again, it's kind of nice to see those potential matchups actually maybe coming to fruition. The other big news of the day, apparently Ross Greenberg, the president of the sports division for HBO, stepped down. I'm sure there were a lot of boxing fans who were happy to hear that. I, for one, I'm not necessarily overjoyed about that, and the reason why is because Ross is the head of sports at HBO, not necessarily boxing. And the problem that we have may not necessarily go away, because the person who's going to succeed him, he's got to be a sports guy. He's got to be someone who knows how to budget. He's got to know how to not just handle boxing, but also other sports as well. You know, the problem at hand is that we still have the guy who basically greenlights boxing in Kerry Davis still at HBO for the time being. And I think until they really totally uproot the system and really get someone who has an eye for creative and favorable matchups, we're still going to see this stagnant of bad fights and overpaying guys.
Yeah, I think the same way too. And, you know, when you think about it, I mean, like you said, and I think a lot of people don't know that, that Ross pretty much oversees everything. I mean, all those sports programming you see on HBO.
The fantastic documentaries that they have on there.
Exactly, you know, so he's done a good job there. I think, you know, just as boxing fans, we expect more when they make these fights, and when HBO's overpaying guys and we're not getting good fights or fights that we want to see, you know, it's a little frustrating. And then, you know, hopefully something good comes up. But like you, I'm happy but not too happy for the same reason.
Yeah, it's, to me, it's a holding pattern. It's kind of a wait and see. Let's see who they put into place. Let's see if they stop overpaying for you know, guys like, you know, Devin Alexander, you know, even a guy like Tim Bradley. Both these guys made seven figures for essentially a fight that while it being amongst the two best at their division, I think that the cost of getting that fight on really was overinflated and really put a dent into the budget that HBO has.
I agree.
You know, hopefully, they get a little creative with this. One thing that's kind of bad about this is that Steve Kim from MaxBoxing.com reported is that the developmental show, kind of their show box, is on hiatus until they straighten this all out. And that, to me, is kind of a kick in the pants, because, you know, the more boxing program on these major, you know, satellite or cable channels, the better. And having a developmental show along the lines of Showbox for HBO could really be a nice tool or vehicle to develop a young fighter as far as their star potential. And you know, who knows? You may have seen another Brandon Rios fighting his way along the line to where the point where he can graduate to a Boxing After Dark, to then where he can graduate to a World Championship boxing card. And It's kind of shameful. Hopefully they get that green-lighted again once they get everything settled.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say, I agree with the part on the budget, because to me, if they were to just whittle down how much they pay the guys that aren't on the pay-per-view, they can have more doubleheaders. I mean, what sport out there has a fight that's scheduled for 12 rounds, 3-minute rounds, like a 45-minute show? I mean, you watch a football game, a baseball game, a basketball game. You know, you're there for 2.5-3 hours, sometimes more. I'm not saying we want something that long, but if we had more double headers, and especially when you have a knockout, it makes for more of an evening. How many times have you cracked open a beer, the guy gets knocked out in the second round, and you're like, okay, now what?
Yeah, and you know what? Bring back triple headers.
Yeah, like the one that they did with Don King that I was at in St. Louis.
Just no more Freddie Hernandez's.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Let's preview this weekend. We got some good fights coming up. We've got probably, you know, the biggest fight of the weekend, Amir Khan versus Zab Judah. It's going to be on HBO's Championship Boxing. I think Gary Russell's opening up the broadcast amongst the people on the card are middleweight contender Peter Quillin. I think prospect Ronnie Rios is on there. Espinosa Boxing prospect Ronnie Rios is on there. What do you guys thought? I'll kick it to Lewis. What do you think about the main event?
I talked to you about this before. I mean, I don't give Judah much of a chance here. I mean, I give him a puncher's chance. You know, I expect this to go like, you know, any typical judo fight. You know, judo always looks good at the beginning. You know, he's fast, he's strong. You know, but as we all know, he has stamina issues, and once the guy figures him out, starts hitting him, he starts retreating, his activity goes down, and he starts looking for that one home run punch, you know. And, you know, I got to think Khan, you know, with his speed, you know, his side advantage, I think he's going to look good in this fight. You know, the only way I see Judah winning, I think he has to stop him early. The longer the fight goes, in my opinion, I think Judah becomes less and less effective. So, you know, I'm picking Khan pretty big on this one.
Yeah, I agree that I think Judah has to catch him in the first four or five rounds. We've seen him fade in a lot of fights late. I mean, even recently in the Matisse fight, he was fading when he got caught. I believe it was in the 10th round when he went down. But the kicker here, that I don't know if a lot of people know about this, but he's been working with Victor Conte. And we've seen what he's done for Andre Ward and for Nonito Donaire. Is that going to make a difference where maybe he doesn't fade towards the end? That's kind of something that has me curious, and it may turn out to be one hell of a fight.
I'm going to go against the grain against you guys. I actually will pick Judah to win. I think...
You're a bold man, Ernie.
I know. But I think there's something there. I don't think Khan's faced this type of opponent quite yet. I know he had a slugger in Maidana in front of him. But Maidana, for all the power that he has, is very predictable. I think Zab has enough speed and enough power to where he may make Khan a little hesitant. He may, you know, make Khan think twice. And who knows? I think, you know, when you kind of jump in, we all saw the McCloskey fight and how sloppy it was and how Khan tends to jump in. Well, I think if Zab, you know, has his timing right, I think he catches him. And I really think that if Zab catches him at 140, it's lights out for Khan. And that's what I'm going to go. I'm going to predict that Zab's going to catch him around 6 or 7 and end it, and just end it in emphatic fashion.
Yeah, I still go with... You know, that's some good points, though. You know, Judah is a faster guy, and sometimes it's those fast punches that you don't really expect, the one that's catch you off guard. But, you know, the other thing about this fight that makes it interesting is, you know, both these guys, it was, you know, Khan, a lot of people still consider him pretty chinny. You know, when I look back at the Maidana fight, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, a lot of people take away from that, you know, Khan barely survived and, you know, he's still chinny. You know, I took the opposite out of that fight. I thought he actually dug deep that fight, and I think him going through that eventually is going to help him out in other fights. I think if Judah catches him and puts him down, you know, I think he can still come back. You know, I think his chin is suspect, but, you know, after going through Maidana, when people were criticizing him because his team wasn't putting him in with punchers, you know, and then they put him in with the biggest punch at 140. And granted, he was pretty much out on his feet, I think, in the 10th round. But, you know, what he went through there, how he stuck it out and dug deep, I think that'll come in handy again. And I think if he gets caught by Judah, he might have to go through that test again, and at least he's been there before.
Cool. Also on the card, two guys that I'm kind of high on. One, Gary Russell Jr. Actually, three guys. I actually think Ronnie Rios is a stellar prospect, too. But of note, Gary Russell Jr. has kind of made some noise locally here. He's been fighting a lot of the Fight Night Club and Golden Boy local cards. And he's been very impressive. And now he gets to open up the broadcast on HBO against Paul Truscott. I think he's coming from the UK. I'm impressed with the kid. I think the kid's got a lot of tools, and I think he, you know, very quickly, he's an Al Haymon fighter, so he'll have no problem getting TV dates. Although with HBO changing, we may not know that 100%. But considering he's a Haymon fighter, considering that, you know, he's been groomed for title shots much the way Adrian Broner has, I could see him getting into a title shot really quickly. But the thing that I like about him is that he's not overly flashy. He gets the job done, and he kind of grinds out. How much have you guys seen of him, and what are your thoughts? Don't jump in all at once.
I've seen him fight a couple of times myself, and I would say he has really good hand speed, and that's probably his biggest asset. But it's like you said, I just don't know until we see him taking that step up, and I don't know much at all about his opponent for Saturday. So I'm not really sure, you know, he looks good, but until we see him with someone, you know, who can really bring it, we're not going to really know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testing field, and but the thing that I guess is the one part that I guess I am kind of, you know, questioning is why he's on TV already, on the main stage like that, you know, and it goes back to the kind of the HBO shenanigans that's been going on, but. You know, I do think taking that away, I do think the actual talent level of Jerry is that he can justify, hopefully someday, him being on HBO. Now, let's also talk about another guy that I'm really kind of high on and who's actually progressed and who's actually had a very solid win recently, and that's Peter Quillen's Kid Chocolate. He's you know, when he first came to the West Coast, because initially he was a, you know, East Coast-based fighter fighting out of main events, and when he came out west, you know, a lot of people were unsure as to what he's done, and I've seen a couple of his fights, you know, especially the Brinkley fight, and this kid's pretty legit. I mean, he's a legit guy. I'm not sure if he's quite ready for Sergio Martinez. I know he had been calling out Sergio in the media and on his Twitter page, but if there was ever a guy to give him a true challenge, you know, Peter might be that guy. Lewis, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've heard him also saying that he thinks he's ready for a Martinez fight. You know, like you, I think he might need a little bit more. But I like what I saw. I mean, the Brinkley fight, he looked pretty good. He hurt Brinkley early. You know, got him out of there, I think, in three rounds. He looks good, you know, and I, you know, whether a Martinez fight is next for him, you know, I don't know. I'd probably like to see him fight, you know, somebody else maybe before that, but I like what I see from him so far.
Do you think, you know, maybe with, you know, one or two more fights, we may see a potential competitive matchup? Because I think as of right now, I don't think anybody really thinks Quillen Martinez fight would be competitive, short of maybe myself. But maybe one or two fights, do you think that Quillen has a chance to be competitive with Martinez, if not beat him?
I think...
Go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say, I think we have to see him, you know, take the step up first. Wasn't he supposed to fight, I believe it was Tarvis Sims on this card, and then Sims was injured?
Yeah, he got injured when his cup kind of jammed into his ribs, and he blamed his Everlast cup, which I kind of replied, well, maybe he should fight, you know, maybe he should wear a Grant cup, because if their gloves are like pillows, maybe the cup's like pillows too. But he sustained an injury, you know, wearing his cup, I guess it jammed into his ribs and he couldn't continue on. So that would have been an interesting fight. Granted, you know, Sims is 40 and I'm sure his best days are behind him, but he's got enough trickery in him to where it would have been a solid Stern test. Now we get, I think it's Jason Lahouye. He is of the Chavez Midwest variety. I remember when Chavez Jr. was fighting Midwest fighter after Midwest fighter, and he was one of those guys, and he, you know, subsequently went out in four rounds, I do believe. I don't think we're going to see much out of this, unfortunately, but if it's a good showcase to see what Quillen can do in front of, I guess, maybe the HBO execs at hand. Maybe it propels him into an opening slot on the Boxing After Dark where we kind of, you know, groom him to see if he's a true challenge to Martinez.
But I think Brandon kind of hit the nail on the head when he said that, you know, he gave Floyd props for fighting Victor Ortiz. If you're Sergio Martinez and his team, and they look at Peter Quillen, they're going to be like, what does he bring to the table? When they're trying to chase, you know, big money fights and Sergio's towards the end of his career, it's kind of tough for these young guys to get these shots at these big names.
Yeah, and especially Martinez, who's, you know, he's been looking for a big fight and he just, you know, can't seem to get it. You know, I agree. You know, they're going to look at him and just see a lot of risk, a little reward out of that. So, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. Let's see, who else is on that card? Or let's see, what else? What other boxing is going on this weekend? Ah, we have a Friday night fight. Anthony Durrell against Alejandro Berrio. At one point, I'll go out there, and I know Lewis is probably the biggest Andre Durrell fan ever in the history of ever. But I myself, at one point thought Anthony was the better prospect of the two. And it was a shame to see him go down. I think he had cancer at one point. And
yeah, he had bladder cancer, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it was sad to see because his career was taking off, but it's also really nice and rewarding to see him back in the ring. And I, for one, hope to see his success. I actually think he's more exciting than his brother Andre. I think he goes for it more. I think he's got maybe a tad more power than his brother. But you know what? It's going to take a long time in grooming him back to the point where maybe he can start making some noise.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's always been the more aggressive of the Jarrell brothers. I think they showcase him a couple times together. And, you know, Anthony has always been more aggressive. He's been more the guy that want to get in there while, Andre Jarrell was more of the one that, more a finesse fighter, more of a skill. He tried to beat you with his advantages before he get in there and mix it up with you. So, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to see Anthony Jarrell. I haven't really seen him fight recently. I think he's been fighting a lot off TV, but he's been actually active. I looked him up a while ago, and he's actually been staying pretty active. So I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. Hopefully, we get to see, how much work he has left to do, we'll see where we go from there. Looks like.
And we also have Orlando Salido fighting, defending the title he won from Wanma on Saturday. He's fighting, I think it's a fill-in opponent, a Japanese guy named Kenichi Yamaguchi. I don't know anything about Yamaguchi, but it seems like it's just a chance for Salido to make a little bit of money before he has his anticipated rematch with Wanma.
I think it's a good step to stay busy fight. Actually, I hear that Wanma is going to actually be in attendance for this fight, which is interesting considering they're slated to fight, I think it's September, correct?
They're saying October or November, but they don't have a date finalized yet.
I don't expect any issues from him. If it's one of those taken fighters that come from Japan, you can expect a lot of slickness. But overall, I think Salido's on the right. I think he's one of those classic cases to me where a guy is blossomingly latent to his career, and we've seen that with Martinez. I think Salido kind of fits that bill. Early on, he kind of toiled in that level where he would always fight for a title but not quite get over the top. And I think he finally put it together. A lot of people sit there and say, well, he got beat by Gamboa, but I think he gave himself a decent effort in the Gamboa fight. I thought he was coming on, and then what we saw against Wanma was kind of a culmination of him maybe peaking at the right time.
What is your guys' opinion on the fact that Salido is basically taking this, you can call it a tune-up fight, and Wanma, who we know he had a lot of problems going into the first fight with Salido, has been off, since, what was that, April? Do you think that all that time off is going to help him, or do you think that's going to hurt him?
I didn't really think about that much. I mean, I think he'll be okay. I mean, I'm just happy they're having the rematch. I don't know if Wanma could, I mean, he's going to have to do something different in that rematch for him to win. That first fight, Salido was just walking him down and then putting some leather on him, and he probably could have benefited from a tune-up, but I think he's just focused on Salido right now, and I don't think the layoff will hurt him too much. I think it'll be about a 6-7 month layoff by the time they fight, so I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be okay.
Well, I hope for his case that he knows what he's doing, because I for one kind of question it, but that's been our first show. Hopefully the guys out there listening really enjoyed it. I want to thank Beto Angulo. I want to thank my brother Bam Bam Brandon Rios for coming on. Of course, my two co-hosts and friends, Ryan Burton and Louis Sandoval. And we'll be doing this show every Tuesday from 6 p.m. Pacific to 8 p.m. We'll try to bring on the best and the biggest guests that we can. And I thank you for listening.